Well, there's a few things you don't hear too much anymore. Hey, I'm going to go up to the video shop. Does anyone want to come and get a view VCRs? Or perhaps it's, has anyone seen the phone book recently? Or maybe it's, you'd really need to check out my MySpace page. Here are a couple of things that you don't hear anymore. The ideas are out of fashion and, or maybe you can think of a few ideas and slogans that are out of fashion as well. One thing that appears to be out of fashion, though, is gentleness. Gentleness isn't one of those things that's talked about much in 2021. Now, I know we've only just started this year, but it's still not something we talk about all that much. It's not on the agenda, it's not the focus, it's not the fashion of the day, and that's equally true in Christian circles as well. But today, as we continue our series in 6G, we're going to look at gentleness. We're going to see what gentleness is and what it's not. And we're going to see how we might cultivate the quality of gentleness. So I'm going to pray. You're going to see a good number of Bible verses on your screen today. And so maybe you have a pen, jot down the verses, go back and have a look a little bit later. In the meantime, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're greatly thankful for your word that teaches us about gentleness. So teach us this day, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think one of the reasons that gentleness is not often spoken of in the Christian community is because, well, it's not all that enticing. It's not an exciting quality. When we think of gentleness, we often think of babies and lambs and being quiet and perhaps boring and weak and... But this is not the Bible's picture of gentleness. In the Bible, the word gentleness is often translated as meekness or humility or self-forgetfulness. Let's begin, for example, with Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, you see it translated there, as meekness instead of gentleness, and patience. Here, meekness, humility, and gentleness go together. We see it again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Here, and in more cases in the New Testament, humility and gentleness go hand in hand. We could put it another way. Humility is the mindset that we are to have. Remember Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 makes it clear that humility is the mindset that we are to have. But gentleness might be described as the outworking of that mindset. In other words, gentleness is what humility looks like on the ground. Now again, when people think of humility, they think of the same type of things. They think of being walked over and spineless and weak. But again, in the Bible, humility and gentleness are not weak, nor are they spineless. Just look at this passage from Philippians chapter 2. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, Paul says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Do you see how Jesus is described here? Jesus is strong, is great, is powerful, is rich, but he puts those things aside for the good of others, for those who he comes to save. And so we arrive at another definition of gentleness. It is might or power restrained for the good of others. Again, we see this in the book of 1 Thessalonians. As Paul is speaking about what his ministry was like amongst the Thessalonian people, he says this, "But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children." Paul says that when he was amongst the Thessalonians, he was like a nursing mother. Now again, Again, this is not to be considered as weakness. Paul came into Thessalonica with knowledge and wisdom, and yet he bared with them. He bore with them. He understood where they were up to, and he spoke with where they were up to at the time in his gentleness. Think of a mother. A mother, in actual fact, though we think of them as being nurturing characters, has a lot of power to harm a child. And from time to time, we see it happening and it horrifies us. But most of the time, a mother restrains her might and restrains her power that she has over this defenseless child for the good of this child. That is, she is gentle. And Paul says he was gentle among the Thessalonians. And so was Jesus amongst us. In Titus 3, our reading today, we see a little bit more about gentleness. "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people." And then again in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. "They're not to be a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money." Again, you see here that gentleness is the opposite of being quarrelsome or violent in any way. Gentleness is might or power restrained for the good of others. This is what gentleness is according to the Bible. The outworking of humility, which is might restrained for the good of others. Now, we've seen what gentleness is, but it's important we identify what gentleness is not. First of all, gentleness is not personality. Sometimes when we think of gentleness, we think of someone as being a wallflower or quiet or introverted, but it's not about whether you're introverted or extroverted, whether you're loud or quiet. Humility can exist within any of these personalities, and so too gentleness. You see, it's equally possible for a loud, extroverted person to be proud. But it's also equally possible for a quiet, introverted person to be proud as well. They might not display their pride, but the reason they act the way they do is because, well, they're worried about being made fun of or whatever else it might be. It's just reverse pride. No, an extrovert and an introvert both have the problem of pride, and both can use the power that they have within their personality to be restrained for the good of others. That's what gentleness is. Gentleness is not your personality, but an outworking of your humility might restrained for the good of others. Secondly, gentleness is not being soft. Some people think that if you are gentle, you'll turn a blind eye to sin. You'll just allow everything. You won't work to have a hard conversation or an awkward conversation. You'll just ignore those things and let everyone get on with their own lives. But this is not what gentleness is either. Gentleness is not soft or softness. In fact, gentle people will be firm with sin and they'll speak the truth in love. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. He is bold and firm here when he says, "I, Paul, myself, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Well, that's Paul. What about us? Well, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, we read this, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." And then again in 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, "The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, and correcting his opponents with gentleness. The gentle person will point out sin and correct others. They will be firm on the truth, strong on their opinions in life, and apply this strength and firmness with care and humility. Therefore, to be gentle is not to be soft on the truth or on sin. So we've seen. Gentleness is an outworking of humility. Gentleness is might restrained for the good of others. Gentleness is not personality, nor is it being soft, but it is the outworking of humility in our lives. So what does this look like? What will it look like in your life and my life to be gentle? Well, before we get there, we need to see that the New Testament has a lot to say on how we should get there. First of all, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 again. Put on then, or be clothed with, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Paul says we are to clothe ourselves or cover ourselves with gentleness. It is to impact every part of our being. Or 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. As for you, man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Gentleness is to be something we run after, chase after, and pursue. Titus chapter 3, verse 1, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. All people are to see our gentleness. And then finally, Philippians 4, verse 5, let your reasonableness or gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. So our gentleness is to clothe us and something we are to pursue so that all people may see it and it may be evident. And so what does that look like? Well, I think there might be a myriad ways that this applies in our life, but let me give you four things. First of all, it means we will chase humility before pride. If gentleness is the outworking of humility, then we need to push out pride and gain humility. Pride-filled people, by definition, will find it hard to be gentle. Instead, they will be more likely quarrelsome or fighters or violent people. See, it's generally the case that if you or I have an anger problem, it is because of our pride more than anything else. We believe we are more deserving of other people's attention or other people's thoughts upon us than we actually are. But we must think of ourselves with sober judgment, not thinking of ourselves as better than we are. This does not mean we think of ourselves as downtrodden and terrible, but we think of ourselves as God views us. We are sinners. We have rebelled against the holy and almighty God. And yet, he sees fit in his love to redeem and save us. We are redeemed, loved sinners. And so we think of ourselves with sober judgment, recognizing we are sinners in need of grace, and without Christ, left to our own devices, we would have nothing to offer. This mindset will breed humility in us instead of pride. Secondly, we are to be people of strength. Strength is not to be despised, be it strength of body, strength of mind, strength of will, strength of opinion. Strengthen the truth, strengthen our knowledge of God. Indeed, we should seek to be strengthened in various ways. But then, the strength that we do have is to be restrained for the good of others. See, it stands to reason that the stronger we are in various ways, the more gentle we're able to be, for we're able to restrain that strength for the good of others. And so strength is not to be despised, but to be used well. Thirdly, we will extend grace to others. If we know in ourselves that we are not strong in everything, there is weakness in all of us, and there is sin in all of us, then we will be ready to be generous to others in their sin and their weakness as well. This doesn't mean, as we've already seen, that we will tolerate sin by any stretch. But it does mean that we will not turn bitter and hard-hearted against those who sin or make error against us. To use the Bible's language, we will be long-suffering with those who have wronged us. And we will seek to extend grace and forgiveness to them because we know in humility just what we are like. And fourthly, we will seek the other's good. Most particularly, we will seek the good of the other in a spiritual sense. That is to say, we will look to help them grow in Christ. So we will encourage them. We will build them up. We will be tender-hearted with them. We will speak encouraging words. But we will also speak gently of their sin, that their sin might come out from them and that they might be free of that sin. We will speak of hell to the unbeliever. As 1 Peter 3 says, we're to speak of Jesus with gentleness and respect. Still speaking about the real Jesus, the real salvation, the real heaven and the real hell, but doing so with gentleness and respect because we seek the good of the other. See, when we understand that seeking the good of others is not just maintaining peace, but helping them to spiritually grow, then we will say the hard thing, but we will say it with gentleness. Because we know that if not for the grace of God, that's where we would be also. And so here are a few ways that we might pursue gentleness, and you might be able to come up with a few yourself. But as we finish today, we must not forget that the gentleness we are called to is grace-fueled gentleness. We've already seen, haven't we, that in Philippians 2, Jesus is our example of humility and therefore our example of gentleness. We see this also in the book of Matthew on two separate occasions. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And then this in Matthew 21, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." As we've already seen, Jesus had the ultimate power in this world as God walking amongst us, but he restrained that power for the good of us as he went to the cross, showing us in the supreme way the ultimate gentleness that provides salvation for us. And so Jesus is our example of gentleness, with all of the power in the world restrained for the good of others. And yet Jesus is not just the example of gentleness, but he is also the giver of gentleness. Galatians chapter 5, you might have been waiting for this one. Galatians chapter 5 teaches us about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit of Christ includes gentleness. See, we've said right throughout this series, it's good to be more godly. It's good to be growing in your faith. It's good to be more glad. And there is some truth to all of those things, but each one of these characteristics is fueled by grace. Indeed, our image for this series shows very clearly all of these categories, all of these characteristics are backed by grace. Because as much as it's true that we should work towards gentleness, godliness, growth, and gladness, these things will be grown in us by the Spirit of Christ. As we walk by the Spirit, he will change us and make us more like his Son. He will change us to be more gentle. And that's why our gentleness is grace-fueled gentleness. And so should we be more gentle? Yes. Should we strive to be more gentle? Yes. Should we pursue gentleness? Yes. We've seen that as we know what it is and what it is not. But we need to understand that our gentleness will grow most readily when we walk by the Spirit closely with Christ. For then gentleness will be gifted unto you by Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, pursue gentleness. And even more, pursue the one who is gentle, for in him you will see an example of gentleness and be gifted gentleness as well. Amen.